Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you all very, very much for coming. It's a very tremendous kavod for my father that there are people that come out and want to hear about the Haggadah. I always say this year, now unfortunately I've been saying it for 11 years now, Lila Nishmas, my father's yahrzeit, is tonight, Bo Bayom, Yosef Nissim ben Yecheskel, Shir should have an aliyah for his holy neshama, and it should be, it's Hashem, a wonderful source of continuous transmission of our Mesorah, which my father loved so much. My father was always instilling in us the love for Torah, and he always instilled in us, especially on Pesach night, how wonderful and beautiful the Seder is. So therefore, it's very fitting that we have, for the first time, we have some of my grandchildren here. Acknowledge them that they came. They're old enough, Baruch Hashem, now to be able to sit through a shir. And it's a very, very, very special to me to have them here. I know it would mean so much to my father to know that his great-grandchildren of Baruch Hashem learning Torah, Lila Nishmaso, but because of him, because he instilled this tremendous love to want to learn Torah, that he has great-grandchildren and now Baruch Hashem old enough to be able to hear a shir on the Haggadah from his son. So we always like to start off with a good gematria. And as in the past, we have a number of different Haggadahs that we use. We use the Haggadah, which is, again, very fitting and appropriate. The Haggadah Beis Avram, Beis Aaron, was written by a Gadol who was killed al Kiddush Hashem. And his Haggadah was buried. He wrote this all in the Warsaw Ghetto. And his Haggadah was found afterwards. And he has different parts of his Haggadah that we'll learn through. Learn also from the Seder Aruch, for a contemporary Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, by Weingarten, who collected a lot of tremendous ideas from different Mefarshim over the generations. And last year we started learning from a brand new Haggadah that I got called the Masifta, which those that are familiar with the Masifta on the Gemara, it's a phenomenal collection of all sorts of Rishonim and Achronim, and they've come out with it now on the Haggadah, and it's just phenomenal. If you're looking for a Haggadah to purchase and to read on everything, that's certainly a Haggadah that I would recommend. All these Haggadahs are wonderful ways to enhance your preparations for the Seder, so you should have something to say at the Seder. So we start off with the Gematria. The Per Aaron, which is that commentary in this Haggadah, the Beis Avram, Beis Aaron, he always has one commentary that's just Gematrias, and he always comes up with phenomenal Gematrias. And for those of you that don't remember, we're up to Challah. What we try to do is we go through the Seder of the Haggadah a little bit at a time. We're not in a rush. Whatever we do, we do. And last year, we left off right by Challah. The Challah that we say in the Haggadah, as opposed to the Challah that we say towards the end of the night of the Leil Pesach of the Haggadah, when we say the rest of the Challah, one of the questions we'll ask is, how can we break it up? So we're up to the Challah that we're very used to saying. We're going to say it every day on Pesach, so it's certainly a wonderful thing that we're going to learn things in the Hallel that are not just something to say to Seder, but you can say them and learn them and know them for every single time that we say Hallel throughout the year, not only on Pesach. This is appropriate learning for all of that, but of course it's going to be focused tonight on Pesach. So he jumps ahead a little bit. I want to start off with the nice Haggadah in the Hallel. If you don't have a Haggadah with you tonight, you just open up a regular Seder. So we have Mi Kashem Elokeinu Hamagbil Shavis. So he did this without computers, without anything. He says the Gematria, and I checked it out as I always do, it's 100% exact. Kashem Elokeinu Hamagbil Shavis is a Gematria of 955. This is saying that Hashem is in Shemayim. He's elevated in Shemayim. And he says this is the Gematria of the Dalet Malachim that are Nosei the Merkava, the four angels that are carrying the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gematria of these four angels, Raphael, Gabriel, Michael, and Nuriel, is exactly 955. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Magbi Loshavis. He's raised high in the sky above everything, and these are the Merkava, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the four Malachim that carry it, has the same exact Gematria of 955. That's not enough. The same Gematria of 955 also represents the four elements of the world. It's also Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor. There's a rock group. Shouldn't be saying this, probably. Earth, wind, and fire. Right? So they forgot one thing. There's also Mayim. They had to change the name of the rock group. But that's the four basic elements of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above that. He's Lemala Min HaTeva. So that gematria of Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofer is also 955. He says, in addition, if you add up the names of the different Rokiyas, when we say expression, oh, I'm in seventh heaven, where does that come from? The person says, I'm in seventh heaven. Straight out of the Gemara. Gemara tells us there are seven Rokiyas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above that. HaMagbil or Shaves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above that. The gematria of the seven Rokiyas is 955. An amazing, amazing gematria. And that's hopefully to give us an interest. There's so much depth to the Haggadah that we can go through. We could spend years just on the Haggadah and never finish the depth and the unbelievable beauty and the secrets that are in the Haggadah. So that's the Pe'er Aaron. Now we'll start really talking more formally about the Hallel itself. Siman min HaShemayim, maybe I'm going too long already. Okay. So we have to ask the question, why do we split the Hallel at the Seder? Right? In Marv, we don't split the Hallel. But at the Seder, we split the Hallel. In Magid, we have the first two paragraphs. And then, after we have the meal, we have the Hallel section of the Haggadah. And we have Lolanu, etc. We go for the rest of the Hallel. So this involves several problems. First of all, why would we split it? And second of all, isn't it a hefsek? Isn't it a problem of an interruption in the Hallel? So there are a number of different answers that are given. My favorite one, which is given by a number of the Mefarshei Haggadah, I'll quote it in the name of the Seder Hayom, have the children ask questions. That's a wonderful overriding theme of the Haggadah. The basic theme of the Haggadah, if you want to, quote, get something out of your Haggadah, it's to have the kids enjoy the Haggadah, make the kids be excited about the Haggadah, want to stay up and listen to the Haggadah. That's the basic theme we have to transmit. We have an obligation as parents, as grandparents, to transmit our Mesorah to our children. And one of the ways that we do that is by getting them excited and involved and asking questions. And throughout the night, we have many things that the children say, hey, that's strange, Dad, that's strange, Mom. How come we're doing it in this way? So the Seder Hayom brings down, that's the reason why the Hallel was split up. The children say, hey, you're not supposed to split the Hallel. So one of the reasons why we split the Hallel, half in Magid, half in Hallel, in the Seder, is to get the kids asking questions. Another example of this phenomenal idea. He brings down from the Mordechai, as well as the Abu Dram, and many others. He says that the the idea is that the Gemara in Brachos expresses an idea that you must say Hallel Shira Al HaKos. You don't really fulfill praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless you do it Al HaKos. So Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hey. Ein Omrim Shira El Al Yayin. The ideal or optimal way that we give praise Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Al HaKos of Yayin. So the Mordechai and the Abu Dram and others bring down, look at the Seder's construction. The first kos, so then we have, we're saying Shira on the first kos, that's Kiddush. Kiddush Hayom. Birchas HaMozon, Yochalta V'Savota V'Rachta, you're giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al HaKos. Hallel, the rest of the Hallel is Al HaKos. If the rabbis had instituted all of the Hallel together at the end, so then the second kos would be bereft of Shira Al HaKos. And therefore, the rabbi said, let's split up the Hallel. Are you going to say the whole Haggadah? So listen what the Mefarshim explain. Amiras Haggadah Eino Ela Sipur Dvarim Bi'alma. As great as the Haggadah is, it's not Hallel. As important as it's a Mrs. I say, the Raisa Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's still not on the level of Shira of Hallel. And therefore, the rabbi said, it would be unfair to the second kos if you only had Magid on it. You have to institute an aspect of Hallel Al HaKos, and therefore Chazal split it up. That's the Mordechai and the Abu Dram. They give that reason. What do you mean? So then, what would you have? Then what would be the fourth kos? There would be no Hallel for the fourth kos. So you need to split it up because we want to have four kosos for the various reasons that we have four kosos. Another reason that's brought down. There's a difference between the Hallel that's in Magid and the rest of the Hallel that's in the Hallel section of the Haggadah. He brings down two similar but different ideas. The first one he brings down from the Rokeach and others as well. There are many of these that are said over by many different Rishonim and Achronim. I'll try to give the earlier source where I can. And he says over here that the first part of the Hallel is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for past Nisim. When we're saying in the Maggid section, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're singing Shira Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's for everything that you've done to us till now. That's about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, all the miracles that you've done for us throughout the ages. But the Hallel that we say afterwards, Lo Lanu, at the end part of the Seder, that's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about future Nisim that he's going to do to us. That's Bimos HaMashiach. That's Muchemes Gog Magog. That's Tchias HaMesim. So there are two different aspects of this Hallel. The Hallel at the front is thanking Hashem for things he's done for us. The Hallel at the end, the other half, is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the things he's going to do for us. B'mehera B'yameinu. A similar idea is expressed by a commentary called the Pesach HaDoros. And he says over here that the first part of Hallel was said by Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. Only after we left Mitzrayim, and here you have a beautiful idea by the Vilna Gaon as well, he adds to this. You only said the first part of Hallel after you left Mitzrayim. The last part of Hallel from Lo Lanu, they said while they're in Mitzrayim. But the first part was said after we left Mitzrayim. And that's why we're saying it now in the Haggadah. We finished this tale of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We thank Hashem, Goal Yisrael at the end over here. And now we say, right before that, Hallel, thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Later on, we'll say the Hallel that they said in Mitzrayim. So the Vilna Gaon explains this beautifully. He says, you couldn't say the Hallel, Halu Adei Hashem. You couldn't say that while you're in Mitzrayim, because you're still Avdei Paro. While you're in Mitzrayim, you still have the status of being Avdei Paro. And he brings a raya. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? We don't say Hallel on Purim, the Gemara brings down, because what do we get free from? You say Hallel when you're saying, we're Baruch Hashem, we're free, we're done with that problem. While we got rid of Haman, while we got rid of all those troubles, we're Avdei Achashverosh. We didn't get a full freedom. And that's why the Gemara says we don't say Hallel on Purim. The Megillah is Keneged Hallel, so there is an aspect of Hallel, but we don't say a full Hallel on Purim because before we were Avadim and now we're Avadim. But when Yetzias Mitzrayim, we left being Avadim. One of the key ideas of Mitzrayim is we became a nation only serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no longer serving the Paros, no longer serving secular governments. We now serve only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hallelujah! Halu Avdei Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says, now you can say Hallel only after you left Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, you have to say a certain amount of Hallel. You have to say a certain amount of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second part of Hallel, Lo Lanu. But you couldn't say that first part in Mitzrayim. You had to leave Mitzrayim. Now you can say Haluka Avdei Hashem. Only we're Avdei Hashem right now. We're not servants to anybody else. So that's another beautiful idea. The Maral brings down that you're supposed to say Hallel on the Korban Pesach. In fact, if you learn the Mishnayos in Psachim, they would have three groups. The zealous people would all rush to be in group one. Those that couldn't make it, they rushed to be in at least group two. And group three had almost nobody. Everybody had rushed so much, but there were three ketos. There were three groups of people. They locked the doors, literally, when they filled up the Azara. So they locked the doors, he went to the next group. He came late to that even, they locked the doors, he went in the third group. And they would recite the Hallel over and over while all the Korbanos Pesach were being brought. So the Hallel that we say on the Seder night is Keneged the Korban Pesach. Nebuch today, Bava Hussein or Rabin, we don't have a Korban Pesach to bring. So the Matzah that we have at our Seder is Keneged this. But there's a problem. You're going to have to eat the Matzah either before Hallel or after Hallel. It's not going to be recognizable that the Hallel is on the Matzah. The Hallel is Keneged the Korban Pesach. So therefore, Chazal split it up. Have some before, some afterwards, and it's like a sandwich on the Matzah. So we have some of the Hallel before the Pesach, some of the Hallel after the Pesach. That's to make us realize the Hallel goes on the Matzah, which is Keneged the Korban Pesach. Again, very interesting ideas. How come it's not a hefsek that we're saying the Hallel in two different parts? Now, the simple Torah says it's not making a bracha on it. So therefore, there's no bracha on it. You don't have the technical details of hefsek. But the Ritva gives a different teretz. The Ritva says, the Chazal bedafke set it up in this way for various reasons that we just explained. Iker takonis ha'halel humidirabanan. Umeikara tiknu lomar sahalel b'sedizeh. This is the way the rabbis wanted it done. Bidavka, with a hefsek in between, maybe for any of the reasons that we brought down, why the rabbis split it up. But there's no problem with a hefsek hadas, there's no problem with a hefsek if that's the way it was set up. So that's what the Ritva gives as a teretz. The Seder Hayom gives a different teretz. The Seder Hayom says, there's no problem with a hefsek over here because the very common minog in kol of Klal Yisrael, not all tefutzos of Klal Yisrael, but many shuls, Ashkenazim and Sephardic shuls, is that you say a full hallel with the bracha in shul that night. So we've already, so to say, finished or said the obligatory hallel that we have to say. Now this is no longer an obligatory hallel, so then you can stop and have a little bit before, a little bit afterwards, and the Seder Yom says, therefore, that's not a problem in this situation. I just mentioned a minute ago that there's no bracha on the challah. So the Agudas Ezo, that's another one of the commentaries over here in the Beis Avro and Beis Aron, he says, the Tor writes, Ein mevarachim achshav al kriyas ha'halo. The Tor says there is no bracha set up by Chazal on this challah. Again, you could answer simply that we've already made the bracha on challah in shul, but it still begs the question, why did the rabbis not set up a bracha? And it gives a very practical answer that we could fully understand from a psychological point of view. It doesn't say, we don't say a bracha, because what are we going to say? Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. God's commanding us to say thank you? No, we have such a spontaneous outpouring of thanks that we don't need to say a bracha. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. You commanded us to say hallel. But on Pesach night, a person should be in the frame of mind. It's just such a spontaneous outpouring of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need to be mitzuveh. We don't need to be told, say challah with the bracha. But it's just a spontaneous outpouring of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who gets freed from jail. A person who's freed from, Rahmanul Islam, being in the concentration camp. A person who's freed from some tzara. He has a horrible medical prognosis and Baruch Hashem, the doctor does the therapy, and he gets a clean bill of health. Do you have to tell that person, now say thank you? The person spontaneously wants to say thank you. That's all he can think of doing, is that emotional outpouring of thanks. That's the challah on the Seder night. When we reach that part of the challah, we're supposed to feel like we just left Mitzrayim, like the Vilna Gaon said. We left our servitude to Paro, and now we're free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing greater could come out of our mouths than praise for Hashem at that point in time. It would almost be inappropriate for us to have to say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, that God had to command us to say hallel. A beautiful explanation from the Agudas Ezov Peirosh in the Beis Avraham, Beis Aaron Haggadah. Then asks the question in the Masifta Haggadah, which he gives several answers to. If you start looking at the text over here, it says, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, Hallelujah, as Shem Hashem. Three times it uses this Lashon of Hallel. What does this three represent? Is there a significance to this idea of three times? So it brings down from a number of different Mefarshim, based upon a Gemara in Pesachim, that this three times is connected to Shlosh HaKitos, Shoyushalchenes HaPesach. As I mentioned a moment ago, there were three times that they would sing the hallel with each group. Sometimes they'd have to sing it multiple times, but they usually didn't even have to. They were so zoriz in doing it. But the three mentions over here is kineged, the three times. We said that this hallel is supposed to be ala Pesach. So we say it three times, this hallel concept, hallelujah, hallu, hallu, same idea, three times to represent the three times that it was said when we brought the Korban Pesach. In a parish called the Chazei Tzion, he brings down that it's keneged Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And he says, look at the words very carefully. If you look at the words, the first one is Halukah, right? A general praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't give any category to it. That's for everybody. That's for the Yisrael to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next one, it says, Halu Avdei Hashem. Those of you that are doing the Avoda, he says, that's a reference to the Levim, who are Ovdim B'Mikdosh. And finally, those that are halu eshem Hashem, he says that's the Kohanim. Shemaskirim eshem ha-meforish. They say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name at various points in the service. So they say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So therefore, the Shem ha-meforish, that's a reference over here. Halu eshem Hashem. So each one of the halos is connected a different aspect of each of us in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't believe that everybody's equal. Everybody has a tafkid. We're all equal in Hashem's eyes, but we're not all equal in what we're supposed to do. And everybody can reach his great, great level. And you don't have to worry that somebody else has a different level to reach. It's not the way the Torah works. The Torah works, everybody's an individual. And everybody has their tafkid. Everybody has their job to do on this world. And don't look at what his job is, what his job is. It's not your job. Remember my Rebbeim Shliti would always tell me, the person's in the army. And if the person in the army says, you know, I don't think I want to work in the kitchen. I think I'd like to work on the tank. Oh, yeah, I'd like to fly that plane over there. You get court-martialed. You get thrown out. Everybody has their job to do. Is one person more important? An army travels on its stomach. If you don't have good supply lines, so then you're going to not win any battles. Your enemy's going to overcome you. You won't have appropriate arms. You won't have appropriate weapons. You won't have appropriate reinforcements. The guy that does this is not more important than the guy that does that. Sometimes in our viewpoint, we give people more limelight because they have fancier, more out there in your face type of jobs or tafkidim. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it. Everybody has their tafkid. All you're supposed to do is do your tafkid, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. They're Kohanim, they're Levim, they're Yisraelim. They're men, they're women. Everybody has a different tafkid. Nobody's tafkid is necessarily more important than somebody else's tafkid. And Hashem made everybody's tafkid exactly for us. It's not for somebody else. It's exactly for us. And we're the only ones that can really do that. That's one of the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon individually. He created a couple hundred thousand cows. It wasn't a primordial cow that gave birth to all the others. It's not an Adam and Eve cow. He made many cows. He made one Adam. Every person is unique. Every person has their tafkid and shouldn't look at what other people are doing because that's irrelevant to your tafkid. Then he brings down the Radak. The Radak says over here, this concept of three times, three is a magical number. It means a lot. When we say Mekudish, 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 that's a pirsa, that's a lot. We often say things three times to represent a lot. So this three times that we're saying the word Hallel in some form is to say that we have a lot to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that we can almost never do that. We only have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what Hashem allows us to praise Him. You can't make up your own praises. Kol HaMosif Goreya. If you, in fact, add on additional praises when you're not supposed to. I said the other night between Mechamar, we were learning, so it's actually a negative. So we have the text of the Haggadah, the praises that we're supposed to say. There are a lot, but we can never even begin to get to the full praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, the last answer that he gives, many, many others, the last one that I'm going to say over here is that, two more actually, he says that there are three types of people over here, different than the Kohen Levi Yisrael. This is brought down from the Toldos Adam. He says there's three categories of people. Kol ha-nivroim sheba'olam mechuyv lehodus l'Hashem. Everybody in the world, Yid or Goy, Jew or non-Jew, we're all supposed to go and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the Goy, they also have seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And they can reach their full tafkid in this world by being Erlich HaGoyim. And they'll have a share in Olam Ames. Our religion doesn't keep other people out. You only can keep yourself out. Every person in this world, Jew or non-Jew, has a share in the world to come if they do what's appropriate for them. That's the haluka at the beginning. That's to everybody. Then it says, the Kat HaShenis, the second group, that's Avdei Hashem Yisbaruch. We're the Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In many places, it refers to that we Avodim to Hashem. So therefore, that Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, that's our aspect of Hallel. And then you have people that are on a higher madrega, Nevi'im. You have Rosh Yeshivos. You have great Tamidei Chachamim. They're able to recognize Hashem in a way that the average person cannot, even as the average person is supposed to praise Hashem. And therefore, Halu Hashem Hashem. They recognize who Hashem is. The rest of us, we're just over the Hashem. We're servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they're people on a higher madrega. And finally, very interesting pshat he brings down. I'm not familiar with this Rav. He says, the Marmi Mirkado. I'm not familiar with who he is. He says, this is connected to three Bote Mikdash. We had the first, we had the second, and Yitz Hashem, we're going to have the third Beis HaMikdash. And he says, after you thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the three Beis HaMikdash, then it says, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, Me'atov Yad Olam. This is a reference, Me'atov Yad Olam, this is to the future, third Beis HaMikdash. We have an allusion to that over here in the Seder as well. He brings down another additional idea why we're called Avdei Hashem. The Vilna Gaon, we gave you that explanation before, that we no longer are Avodim to anybody else, we're just Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the original plan was that we were going to go back to Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was not telling Paro a sham, a farce, let us go for 3 days and then we're going to come back. The original plan was if Paro would let us out, we would get the Torah, we're going to go out 3 days, get the Torah on Har Sinai, and then come back to Mitzrayim and finish off the years of servitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ordained for us. Because the Torah would have allowed us to survive the servitude in Mitzrayim. Paro had other ideas, and Paro eventually made a huge mistake. But this idea of Avdei Hashem is also something that tells us how special we are. By Goyim, by other people, they have this concept that God is too great and we need an intermediary to serve God. God has nothing to do with us. Why would he? He's so high up in the sky. He's so lofty, so spiritual. Does he really care what I do in the morning? Does he care if I wash Negel Vasa? Do I care if I put my clothing on in the order that Chazal tells us you're supposed to put your clothing on? Nah, that's silly. So there are other people in the world that Nebuch, they can't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. He's nothing to do with them. They need intermediaries. They need a pesel. They need an idol. They need all sorts of intermediaries. That was the sin, according to some of the Chayta Egel, that we said that now that Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, God's not going to want to have anything to do with us, and we need an intermediary, which is totally connected the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to interact. We directly interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to have somebody interact for us. You go to a Rav for a bracha, you go to a Rav for an Eitzah, but you don't daven to a Rav. Rav Shechter Shlita would always say that when people go to Kivrei Tzadikim, if they mistakenly think that they're davening to the Kevin, that's Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to do that. We don't believe in intermediaries. And therefore, the Ri Gittalia, he says that Avdei Hashem is keneged the rest of the world. They serve the mazolos. They serve psalim. They serve who knows what they serve. But we are Avdei Hashem, no intermediary. A very, very important idea. Another very important idea. We say over here, Halu Hashem Hashem. What's the idea? We're praising the name of Hashem. It's again for us to understand that we can't begin to have a hasaga. We can't begin to have any true understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's beyond our understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to understand certain things, and Hashem said, you can't. It's just physically impossible. No matter how smart you are, Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand certain things. Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand certain things. So we can only praise Halu Hashem Hashem. We can't understand and say Halu Hashem. There's a difference. There's something to understand. This is when people say, I know better than the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan. I wouldn't do it that way. These things are not for our time. They were for years ago, but God didn't know that we'd have this modern technology, etc. All that is nonsense. All that is shtus. Halu Hashem Hashem. We can't begin to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At best, we can say the praise of Hashem, but not the shame of Hashem, but not the praise of truly Hashem. Brings down another very interesting idea over here. Hakare hala b'chol yom harehu ki'ilu mecharef u'megadef. It's an idea I expressed a few minutes ago. If you say halal every day, wow, this is such great stuff. Let's say it halal every day. So a person who does that is, the Gemara says, mecharef u'megadef. Gemara in Shabbos, kuf yud ches. He's blaspheming. If you say halal every day, you're actually not a good person. You're a bad person. He says, "V'nimtza sha'omer halal b'chol yom kiloeg." Somebody who says halal every day is actually a scoffer. He's like, so to say, making fun. However, he says, "Brachos every day." That's different. A different idea between making brachos, which you're mechuyev to make 100 brachos every day, versus this halu es Hashem. Hallel is a very special, unique type of a tefillah. And when we do say Hallel, we have to understand this is a special opportunity for us. It's not an opportunity that we have every single day to say. And we have to understand the difference between making a bracha to Hashem, which is a form of praise of Hashem, as opposed to Hallel, which is a higher form, which we don't have the right to say every day. Interesting idea. He brings down from the Alshech. It says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivoo. What are we supposed to learn over here from the idea that the sun goes across the sky? So he says, he brings down from Tehillim, that this is based upon Chazal, Shashemesh Zorachas B'Mizrach V'Shokas B'Mariv, Hikir Avram Avinu Esbaro. From looking at the sky to see how the sun travels, Avram Avinu was able to realize something like that doesn't come about on its own. You have, unfortunately, very, very bright people who are agnostics. They don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they claim, well, it doesn't make sense to them. And Avram Avinu knew better. And we know better as well. That because we can't understand something, we can realize it's something that we don't understand. We can't understand the way the sun, the stars, all the constellations, all the astronomical bodies. We can't understand them. They're beyond our understanding. But from seeing the pattern, how the sun rises every day here and sets every day over there, miracles b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world every day. An agnostic will say, that's the way the world is. But a ma'amin knows that that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the sun rise every day. Avram Avinu was able to recognize that and realize that it doesn't make sense to worship the sun, it's not there at night. It doesn't make sense to worship the moon, it's not there during the day. And Avram Avinu was able to realize, Mimizrach Shemesh Amavowo, he was able to realize the greatness of Hashem. The Tilas Hashem has a different approach to this. The Tilas Hashem says, the sun is an internal contradiction. And the Goyim, the non-believers, can't understand how the sun works. The sun has the ability to melt wax, and it also has the ability to draw out water from something and desiccate it. Two opposites. And this is connected to the idea by many, unfortunately, who aren't believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there are two dualities out there. There's the God of good and the God of evil. Many of the different forms of Avodah Zarah. So they hold, well, you know, there's God, he's good, but there's this other force, a separate force than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Kfira, that's obviously Avodah Zarah. And we see from the sun, from the stars, from the sun, that the sun has the ability to do different things. It can, at the same time, melt something, turn it into a liquid, and at the same time, withdraw the liquid from something and dry it out. That's a representation of this duality that's within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Elokim. He's the God of Rachamim and the God of Din. This is one of the taiches. What Rashi says, the taich, every day we say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. There's Hashem, there's Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, it's the same. There's no duality over here. The Persians were famous for having the God of light and the God of darkness. So we don't believe in anything like that. And we're acknowledging that over here, Mizrach Shemesh Amivoo. That's one of the ideas that we have when we say that part of the davening. Then it tells in the Hallel, Ram Al Kol Goyim Hashem. Hashem is above all the nations of the world. So what does that mean? It's a little bit of a strange type of description. So again, it's connected. This is something I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita to say over the name of the Rav. That by the Goyim, their philosophy and approach is that the more gashmius you get, the less spiritual you are. And their approach to becoming a very spiritual person is to remove all the gashmius from this world. And that's why they'll have people that will take a vow of silence and a vow of celibacy. They won't get married. And a vow of poverty. And a vow of anything that's against gashmius. And that's how they believe in their incorrect approach that you'll reach spiritual levels. Because God doesn't want to have anything to do with mundane stuff in this world. Ram al kol goyim, God's way above it. He doesn't care what's going on in this world. And the Rav Zatzal, coming up on the 25th anniversary of the Rav Zatzal, who had such an unbelievable impact upon all my rabbeim and upon all of Klal Yisrael, whatever camp you're in, the Torah of the Rav and from his Talmidim, this phenomenal impact upon Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't be where we are today without that influence. So the opposite is true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the mundane and wants us to make it holy. I always point out, my Rebbeim used to give the example. We go to the bathroom. We have halachos of going to the bathroom. We have halachos of every part of our life. And I always heard from my Rebbeim, and I think this idea is very true, it's to remind us every single second we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavis Yasem Kinegdi Somid. It's not Kinegdi when I'm in shul, but when I'm in business, whoa, no God over there. When I'm in the bathroom, when I'm in the privacy of my bedroom, whoa, there's no God over there. Shavis Yasem Kinegdi Somid. Every moment. And that's what we have halachos about, how you're supposed to get dressed, how you're supposed to cut your nails, how you're supposed to wash yourself, how you're supposed to do every mundane activity. We make a bracha on food. The seder is a lot of gashmi stuff, but we turn it into spirituality. That's Rama Kogoyim. By them, God is not in this world. By us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's close to us. He's magbi, and at the same time, mashpil leros. He can be way up high, but he's still involved in every aspect of our life. Yet many of the Mefarshim say that there's not a blade of grass that falls off a tree without it being owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It happened because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's involved in those most minute details of this world. And not like the guy, he's nothing to do with us. He put the world into functioning and now he's off on a vacation in Aruba someplace. That's not the way it works. So this is the idea that's expressed over here, Rama Kol Goyim. It's one of the critical differences between us and the Goyim. He then brings down from the Yavetz, also a similar idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's humbleness, his great, we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're supposed to be humble like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's humble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not too much of a king to say, well, I only deal with that stuff up in Shemayim, with the lofty stuff. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and wants to deal with all little details. One of my Rebbeim always used to tell us, daven for everything. It's not like you're wasting it. Well, only daven for the big stuff, but the little stuff, that you're on your own. So that's also kfira. I remember at camp, one of my Rebbeim telling me, when you go up and you want to hit a home run, so you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should hit the ball out of the park. Don't only save it for Yom Kippur at Neilah time. You're daven to hit the ball out of the park. You're daven to do well on a test. You're daven that you should have a good time and you're going out on a date night with your wife. You should always daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should always have a special, unique relationship in everything you do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's alluded to in this idea as well. Roma Kol Goyim Hashem, Hamashpil L'Ros B'Shamayim U'Va'aretz. God wants to know, not just what's going on up there, He wants to know what's going on in your life down here every moment of the day. Another similar idea, and this I alluded to before, he says over here, Afilu Bigolus, even when we're Nebuch in trouble, when we go into Golus, even in the darkest concentration camps, even in the Spanish Inquisition, the Churban Beis Rishon Beis Bayisheni, even in those terrible, terrible moments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Imo Anochi Bitzora. And this is alluded to over here, where it says, we have the idea, Mi Kashem Elokeinu. This double lashon, Hashem represents the Midas HaRachamim, Elokeinu represents the Midas HaDin. Mi Kashem Elokeinu. Who is like our God? As He punishes us, we get a tremendous kapara from that punishment. It's Memarek Esnaf Shoseinu. He cleanses us. So Nebuch, we sometimes deserve to be punished, but in that punishment, not only is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu there with us, it actually is for our own good, and it makes us better. Our soul is cleansed. We're getting a kapara through this. So again, that's a phenomenal idea. Mi Kashem Elokeinu. It's that combination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always heard from my Rebbeim, you push away with the left hand, and you bring back with the right hand. And that's, I think, the same idea. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to push us away with the left hand, but He's always bringing us back with the right hand representing the stronger hand. And that's the proper approach that we're supposed to have. You have the similar idea expressed by Mitzudas David on this pasuk. He says, Mika Hashem Elokeinu, even though Hu Magbi Lo Shaves, even though He's all the way up in Shemayim, nevertheless, He wants to know what's going on over here. The Sfarino says the same idea. Nothing is too far away, insignificant, unimportant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that he's involved in every single item that we do. We then have in the Halal over here, there's a lot of strange words. Hamagbihi, Hamashbili, Mikimi, Loshivi, Moshivi. All these words end with the Yud, which is technically unnecessary. You didn't have to have that. You could have just had the word without the Yud at the end. So these five Yuds, people like Gematrias, this is from a number of different sources, the Rashbam, the Avudram, and the Rokeach, they all say the same idea. This five Yuds adds up to 50. It's a remez to the Chamishim Makos Al Hayom. So we're reminded over here in the Halal, we're giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim, and you didn't just stop. It wasn't enough that you took us out of Mitzrayim. You attacked the Mitzrayim who were trying to still kill us on the Yam. So that's one very nice idea over here of these five Yuds over here, what they express. There are other ideas with these five Yuds. So he brings down in Ashrei, we know that the Nun is missing. We have every pasuk. If you ever looked in Ashrei, you have every single pasuk there, the Nun is missing. Pasuk for the Nun is missing. And that's because the pasuk for the Nun expresses an idea of nefila, of falling down. So David HaMelech said, I'm not going to put that Nun there. And these five Yuds represent that Nun of nefila, which David HaMelech, the next after the Nun, Someach Hashem b'chol noflav. Hashem will support all of those that fall down. So even though there's no, we don't want to say the Nun, we don't want to say this concept of Nefila, we allude to it with the five Yuds over here in the Halal, and at the same time, we know that the next thing that comes right after the Nun is Somech Hashem, L'chol Noflav. Hashem will pick up all those that fall down. So we do have this idea. In the Halal it says that there is both this Dal and Evyon. We have this this concept over here. Mikimi may offer dol, may ashpos jorim evyon. So again, for those that like gematrias, David HaMelech wrote this, and David HaMelech referred to himself as dal the evyon. And the gematria of dal the evyon is 110, if I remember correctly. So that's the gematria of dal and evyon together. So that is David HaMelech saying, I'm a dal, I'm a poor person, I'm an evyon. Now what's the difference between dal and evyon? That's a different question. But the dal and the evyon over here are, it's a total of 95, not 109, not 110, 109. Dal v'evyon adds up to David HaMelech, exactly the gematria. What's the difference between dal and evyon? So the Vilna Gaon says, dal is a person that has nothing. Misha ein lo klum. Is absolutely nothing. Evyon is a person that has a lot, but he wants more. And he hasn't reached his full, he hasn't gotten everything that he wants. But he has a lot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save both of these people if they do tshuva. If they both want to go and really get close to Hashem, if you have nothing, Hashem will give you everything. And if you realize that a lot of the stuff that you have, and you want more, if you realize sometimes the silliness of some of the things that you want, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back. That's what the Vilna Gaon says over here. This Dal and Evyon represent two different ideas. It says then, at the end of this paragraph, it says, Moshivi Akeres HaBayis, Eim HaBonim Smecha, Hallelujah. So what is this a reference to, this Akeres HaBayis? So the Dvar Aaron, he brings down over here that the Akeres HaBayis Yisrael is a reference to Klal Yisrael. We're considered over here the Iker. He says the Akeres HaBayis, the root of that word, is the Iker, the foundation. The Akeres HaBayis is the foundation of the house. That's a reference to Klal Yisrael, that we are the purpose of the world. So therefore, Moshivi Akeres HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us over here to the ultimate redemption. And that makes Ema Bonim Smecha, and that makes us happy that we are the Akeres, the Iker part over here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings down another pshat over here from the Sfas Emes. It says, Me'ash post yorim evyon. From the garbage dumps, he raises the evyon, the poor person. So why from the garbage dumps? So he says this is exactly the way we were in Mitzrayim. When we were in Mitzrayim, we had nothing. A person who has nothing subsists on the most horrible things. People, Rahman al-Islam, who lived in a concentration camp that were starving in different places, running away from our persecutors over the generations. You know, they would eat insects. They would go and eat potatoes, peels of potatoes. They would eat all sorts of horrible things just to stay alive. When that person is raised up, he understands what it was to be in an ashpa. So we're lifting us up. It specifically uses this terminology, Me'ashpos Yorim Evyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make us realize that all the stuff that we had in this world that was insignificant, how insignificant it was. That's Me'ashpos Yorim Evyon. And finally, it says over here at the end, Im Nidivim, Im Nidive Amo. What is that supposed to represent? Nidivim and Nidive Amo. So he brings down from the Toldos Adam a very interesting idea. The Toldos Adam says over here that there are some people that are like false Nidivim. A Nidiv is a person who's a, you know, magnanimous person, a very, very generous, beneficial person to other people. So you have sometimes a guy that's, you know, outside his community, they think he's a really good guy. But you go and ask the people in his community, yeah, that guy's is not really a special person. And sometimes you have a person that looks like he's a special person, but that's because everybody else around him is not really special. So he says, Nidivim im Nidive Amo. You're going to be over here special, even amongst people that know what special means. And that's what he's telling us over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oshivi im Nidivim im Nidive Amo. You're going to be raised up over here by very, very special people. And you'll become so special, even other people that know what special is. That's this Nidivim im Nidive Amo. I want to conclude in the last few minutes that I have. That's pretty much what we'll do for this paragraph. Again, we could spend literally weeks on each paragraph. I just want to touch upon one thing in the next paragraph. There's no way we'll get through the whole next paragraph. But this is such a powerful idea that I think, you know, you could say these Divrei Torah over any time. They're not specific just to this halacha. And we'll read one pasuk over here. Hayom ra'ah vayonos. Hayardin yisov liyachar. But we'll focus even just on the first part. Hayom ra'ah vayonos. So before I say that, you just have to know the context of this paragraph. It says, B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzroyim beis Yaakov miyam lo'ez. So many, many of the Mepharshim say that there's two people over here. B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzroyim, that's when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, beis Yaakov. It was only because of the beis Yaakovs. Beis Yaakov is the women. And Mishul Noshim Sidkanios Nigalu. The Yisrael would have not left Mitzrayim. On our own, the men would not have left Mitzrayim. B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim was only because of Beis Yaakov me'am lo'ez. That's how many understand this. And that's why the next part, Hayom ra'ah vayanos, what did the Yam see? The Yam's not a physical entity. What's the concept over here? The Yam saw, Hayom ra'ah, and now it's split, vayanos. What happened over here? So there are a number of phenomenal ideas, and this will be the last thing that we'll talk about, but it'll take still about 5 more minutes. So it says, Hayom ra'ah. So when it tells us that the Yam saw, so there's a number of different things that the Yam saw. Number one, the Yam saw, Kofatz Nachshon ben Aminadov, the Yorad Layam Tchila. The Yam saw, Mesiras Nefesh. It saw Nachshon ben Aminadov, who was Shevet Yehuda, jumping into the Yam. The Yam said, if there's a human being that's willing to sacrifice himself in this fashion, so then how can I not split for the Jewish people? And we find this throughout our history. There are people that were Mosin Nefesh, and one person was Mosin Nefesh, all of a sudden the rest of Klal Yisrael could get behind him. One person in the Israeli army that can go and jump on a grenade, Rachmanu Litzlan, and save everybody else. Those types of Mesiras Nefesh, they're priceless. And the Yam saw this Mesiras Nefesh, and the Yam said, I'm going to split for the Jewish people. When you have Jewish people that are willing to be Mosin Nefesh to save other Jewish people, to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing, even nature, so to say, doesn't stand in your way. That's one of the things that was the Yam saw over here. There are a number of other things that it quotes over here that the Yam saw. Many different ideas. The Yam saw the Shechina. The Shechina was with us. Lo yidei malach. No other intermediary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. The Yam saw that. And the Yam said, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to split. It saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. Others say, it saw the Arono Shel Yosef. They carried the bones of Yosef out. And we all know the famous Medrash. This is very popular, very well known. That the Yam said, hey, I was made before man. I was made on day 3. And Yosef, mankind, is made on day 6. Why should I split? And the answer that the Medrash tells us is that Yosef was flowing away, running away from his Yetzirah. And the Yam saw that. The Yam saw again, Yosef HaTzadik was willing to get thrown in jail for 10 years. He was willing not to do an Aveira, which would have been a pleasant Aveira for him to do. An Aveira that the Gemara says he desired to do. That's how beautiful Eishes Potiphar was. And yet he was able to overcome this tremendous Yetzirah. And that's what the Yam saw. The Yam saw that a person has the ability to overcome any challenge. And it said, well, if that's the way you people are, if that's the way the Jewish people are, so then I'm also going to go and go against my natural tendency, my teva. If you can break your teva, I'm going to go and break my teva as well. There is another medrash. There's an amazing medrash that says, conflicting medrash. It says it wasn't Nachshon ben Aminadav that jumped into the Yam. It was Shevet ben Yamin. Shevet ben Yamin jumped in. So I always understood this. It's okay, two different Medrashim. Nobody ever said that Medrashim have to agree with each other. Medrashim and Medrashim. They can be totally different Medrashim. So there's one Medrash that says it was Nachshon ben Aminadav, and another Medrash that says, no, it wasn't Nachshon ben Aminadav. It was Shevet ben Yamin. I saw a beautiful teretz. All these years, I never saw this teretz. It's in the commentary called the Ruach Hadasha in the Haggadah Beis Avraham Beis Aaron. It says you can reconcile these two Medrashim so that they're one. It says two things happened over here. Everybody wanted to jump in. And Shevet ben Yamin said, we'll jump in. And they jumped in first. But they didn't jump in fully. They jumped in not into the middle of the water. They just went onto the part where the water was just beginning to flow. And they said, let's see what happens. So they got a tremendous amount of credit. And Shevet ben Yamin was zocheh to be the progenitors of Malchus Beis Shaul. Shaul was the first king, came from Shevet ben Yamin. His son Ishbosheth was the second king of Klal Yisrael. In the schus that ben Yamin jumped in. So they were zocheh to have kings. But they didn't jump in fully. And Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon ben Yamin said, that's not going into the Yam. I will go into the Yam. And he went all the way into the Yam. And as a result, Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadab, is the king for all time. And they replaced Binyamin. They replaced Shaul HaMelech. Because they jumped in fully. It's also an interesting idea. A person can sometimes want to do a mitzvah, but he doesn't do it fully. He doesn't do it with a full heart. So you get credit, but you don't get full credit. One of the interpretations in Pirkei Avos, which says, don't be a person who's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, amanas l'kabel pras. So it means don't serve for presents. It's a beautiful other interpretation. Don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be happy with part, with a pras, a piece. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu full-heartedly. Go jump in all the way, not just get your feet wet. And in that way, you'll be zocheh to really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll be like Shevet Yehuda. You'll be Malchus Beis David, the Olam Va'ed, the Mashiach, as opposed to Malchus Shaul, which is a fantastic, great thing, but it's not the Olam Va'ed. Finally, there's another explanation over here that also explains why Yehuda, so to say, supplanted Binyamin, why Malchus Beis David supplanted Malchus Binyamin. And that's because Binyamin was held captive. Right? They were going to take Binyamin. Yosef said, the Gevia is in my packet over here. We're going to take Binyamin and you can all go home. And Yehuda stepped up to the plate. Just like Nachshon ben Aminadav. He stepped in all the way and said, take me, don't take him. And as a result, Yehuda supplanted Malchus Shaul. Malchus Beis David supplanted Malchus Shaul. Finally, there are many, many other things. The last thing I'm going to say, we'll conclude with this idea. It says over here that what did the Yam see? It saw the Braisa that we say every morning. The very end of the Korbanos section, Yud Gimel Midos. Rabbi Yishmael Umer, Rabbi Shlosh, Rabbi Midos, Atroi Nidreshes Behen. It saw that Braisa. What in the world does that mean that it saw that Braisa? So it teaches us a very important idea, and we started off this paragraph in the schus of the Noshim Sidkanios. That's the only reason why the men went out, because of the Beis Yaakov, which always Beis Yaakov always refers to women. That's why it's not that Beis Yaakov is the yeshivas, and that's why we say Beis Yaakov. It's the other way around. Beis Yaakov was always the women, and that's why the yeshiva Beis Yaakov is called Beis Yaakov. So this explanation is beautiful. Rachel, this brisa Rishmol and Rabbi Shloshes Remidus turned to the Ashes Behem, includes in it Kal Vachomer. That's one of the Yud Gimel Midos, one of the 13 ways that we darsh in the Torah. The concept of a Kal Vachomer. Well, if he did that, then certainly this. Rachel Imenu, the Yam saw that Rachel Imenu wasn't jealous of her sister. And instead of letting her sister get totally embarrassed and reveal that it wasn't her, she gave the simonim over to her sister Leah. The Yam saw this Kal Vachomer and said, if Rachel Imenu can go against her natural tendencies, then I will go against my natural tendencies. That's what the Yam saw, the Braisa of the Yud Gimel Midos. Kal Vachomer. Alternatively, some suggest that this Kal Vachomer that he saw in the Braisa was he saw the Yardain, Hayardain Tisov Liachar, the end of that Pasuk. Made a Kal Vachomer, the Yam made a Kal Vachomer. If the Yam is going to go and split, the Yardain is going to split for Yoshua, the Talmud, Kal Vachomer, I have to go and split for the Rebbe, for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Yam saw. The Yam saw this Kal Vachomer. So we didn't get through a lot of the Haggadah tonight, but hopefully we went through a lot of tremendously important ideals, keeping it to under an hour, as always promised. And Amir Tzashem, we should all be Zolcha to have a wonderful Seder. We should have a Chag Koshev Sameach. It should be an Ilui for my father, for his holy neshama, Yosef Nissen ben Yecheskel. Should all have a Zis in Pesach, a Chag Koshev Sameach. I'll just say a Kaddish over here.